Let's see, we learned the Gemara Lamates and Aleph halfway down the Amr. Amr Abzera, Ki Havina Be Rav Huna, when he learned in the Yeshiva of Rav Huna, Amalon, he said the following thing. Hani Gargalidi de Lifto, Lefes is some kind of a vegetable. So if you chopped it up, Parminhu, Prima Rabba, Parminhu, either you sliced it or you chopped it up, big chunks, is still retains the bracha bar pi adama. But if you cut it up prima zuta to tiny little particles, then it's called the shinui, and then it loses its original identity, and the bracha shakol niyabidvar. Why is this? So this is based on the previous amma that we had. Bishul is considered a shinui, and chopping up is also considered a shinui. So there were three opinions. There were three opinions. So one opinion was that even if it's ishtani limal yusa, if you have raw potatoes and you cook them, a raw cabbage and you cook it, it becomes shakol niyavdor. Even kruv, cabbage is not normal to eat raw. Potatoes is not normal. So whatever you cooked it, it's a shinoi, so it loses its original identity, is considered a synthetic food. So there was an opinion like that. Then the other two opinions, that those are the two that are neck and neck running in Machlokes is how we paskin. So the real paskin is like the opinion that the bracha is still going to be hadam even if it's tani ligri yusa. And the Baal HaTosfos says not so. That's how we assume in Shulchan Aruch. It depends whether it's tani limal yusa or it's tani ligri yusa. So here, this Amora says, Parminu, if you ground it up, or you chopped it up, or you sliced it, prima zuta, it becomes shakal niyabidvar. That's going to be against the Rif. So it's a good thing the Rif doesn't quote this Gemara. Pretty sure points out the Rif doesn't quote because he paskins against this. He also said this is totally in the machlokes. Okay, so this is a hemshach from the previous Gemara. This Rav Huna holds that this is a ishtani ligri yusa. That's the shayla. The Gemara said, if you hold ishtani, then not only is it a din in Hilchas Brachas, it loses its original identity. I treat it like a synthetic food. It's relevant to matzah and tomorrow. Matzah mubushalas, rakikam mubushal is no good. And tomorrow, that's mubushal. You're not yotzi with a mavushal because it's a panu chadash balakan. It loses identity not only on the level of drabon with respect to which bracha to say, but with respect to dinim deraisa as well. So that's a shot. If you grind up the horseradish, so that's fine. If you grind up the horseradish, prima zuta, you make a tiny little particle. Mamish prima zuta. So if you're going to say that the bracha shahakol, then it shouldn't be good for mara. So that's what some achrenim say. That those who want to use davka horseradish for mara, if they grind it up, it's no good. They have to eat it in its original form, without grinding it up. And others say, no, you're going to eat horseradish in its original form. That's shaluk derech achilosai. That's legamei not normal. So. And the Gemara says in the second parak of Misochim, if you eat macholas asuris, shalok derech achilosa, the whole Yisr is only with the Rabbanan. That's why it's muta b'makam chodeshem v'sarkonen, because the Yisr is only with the Rabbanan. So we had two opinions in Achrenim, how to read the Rashi and Daflam and Heim and Aleph. In Misochim, the Gemara says, if you yotzim mirakim kashori, v'mubushal shalonim mo'echtibei Reb Meir. If you have a matzah mubushel d'sheni mayach, then for sure you're not yotze. So Rashi sounds like he says, when the Gemara quotes this brisa, not this brisa, a similar brisa, on Laman Heim and Aleph Mesochim, Rashi sounds like he says, because you're eating it shalok derech achilos, that's not a normal way to eat it. And so then you see from Rashi, the Mishlam Melech had this suffix, where the din of shalok derech achilos only is relevant for macholos asuris for yisurim. It's even relevant for a mitzvah sachila, for a mitzvah zesi. What if you eat the carbon pesach, shaloka derech achilosa? Let's say the carbon pesach is rosh al karav akir, but you broiled it, I eat it burning hot, I burn my tongue. or I broiled it and I put it in the freezer and it's hard like a rock. And I eat it when it's hard like a rock, I'm almost breaking my teeth eating the korban. So if you were talking about mochos asuris treif and you eat it burning hot and you eat it ice cold, that should look at derech hachilosa. So the whole issue is only with the rabbanon. So maybe that carries over to mitzvahs and not yotzei. And the others say no. The Rashi didn't necessarily say that. Rashi meant to say that matzah you have to eat as opposed to drinking. Rashi didn't mean shaloka derech hachilos. Meant that you're drinking it. And the din says by erev tochla matzah you have to do an achila. If you liquefy the matzah and you drink it, then you're not yotzei. So those were the 2 days in Rashi. So that's a deal that Achrenim have over here. If you're going to grind up the horseradish, so some say parminhu prima zuta. It's a panim chadoshes, and the bracha should be shahakol because it's nishtana. So by horseradish that's ground up, there's this question in general: the horseradish is a min mor. The Mishnah lametesam and alfam sachan lists off 5 specific vegetables that are acceptable for mora. And the Gemara seems to say clearly that the 5 vegetables are all leafy vegetables. So it has nothing to do with horseradish. In Achrayim, they wanted to say that, what are the five vegetables? So it says chazeres, tamcha, charchavina, ulshin, and morav. These are the 5 vegetables. The Samachranim claim that tamcha is charei. The Pashta says that it can't be charei. Pashta that all of the 5, you read the Hemshach HaGemara and the Aflametes, Hemsachim, all the 5 are leafy vegetables, and charein, horseradish is not at all a leafy vegetable. It's a root that grows under the ground. It's legamrei not. So on the assumption that it is, so then the Achrenim had, that's for many generations, people in Europe were using horseradish. So that was a big machlekes. Some say you're only yotzei if you grind it up. If you didn't grind it up, it should look at derech achilosai, and for sure you're not yotzei anymore. Others said, no, if you grind it up, prima zuta, then it's a shinui, then it's a ponim chadosh b'olukan. So just like the Gemara says, bishol is a ponim chadosh, so too the Primazuta is panam chadashim. So the big machlek is menakotz alakotz. So best is to use chazeres. That's what the Yerushalmi says. They're listed in descending order of importance. So it's preferable to use chazeres. Chazeres is romaine lettuce. In the days of the Tanoim, they didn't have regular lettuce, what we call iceberg lettuce. Days of the time, they didn't have regular lettuce in Eretz Yisrael. They had in other parts of the world. So the Mishnah is talking about romaine lettuce. Whether regular lettuce is the same, that's a question. So many, Rabbi Aaron Kotler, many others said the regular lettuce is the same as romaine lettuce. Any lettuce is good. And others said no. In the days of the Tanaim, they didn't have regular lettuce. So the Mishnah says chazeres. Chazeres means romaine lettuce. Yeah. So if you, romaine lettuce is not bitter. So that's what the Yerushalmi asked. Romaine lettuce, chazeres not bitter, so Yerushalmi asked. If you would let it sit in the ground, let it grow longer, it will become very bitter, so therefore it's considered morah. Now is the machlok, is the chazanish, and everybody else. What does that mean? It means if you left it in the ground longer and it became bitter, then it's morah. But if you didn't leave it in the ground, the potential that it would have been able to is irrelevant. Or you say no, since if you would have left it in the ground to grow longer, would have become very bitter, so even though you cut it off earlier and it didn't become bitter, that is a min morah. So that's a machlok, is the chazanish, and everybody else. Most are mekel on that. Most do not eat it when it's bitter. Fine. So this Gemara, about parin, parminu, prima zuto, according to some achrenim, that shows that ground up horseradish would not be acceptable. So that's what he said. Rab Zera says, when he learned Baravuna, that's what they said. Chiasan be Rav Yudah, then he switched to another yeshiva, Amalon, Idavidi, Bur Piradoma. Why? Why did he grind it up and so finely? Should have a sweeter flavor. So that's his tiny limal yusa. In other words, he's paskening the different. He's paskening like Rav Chis the Bani Yomer. It depends whether it's tiny ligriusa, tiny limal yusa. So he says the reason why they grind it up in a fine fashion is because it's ishtani lemal yusa. So the same is by the horseradish. Also ishtani lemal yusa. No, people can't eat it when it's a chunk. If you eat a chunk of horseradish, you can die. You can get a heart attack. So that would also be ishtani lemal yusa probably. Amar Avashi, Kavina Be Rav Kana. When I learned in Rav Kana's yeshiva, Amalon, he told us, Tapshila, the silka. Silka is a beet. So you have borscht, some kind of borscht. Dela Mavshe, Bakimcha, doesn't have too much flour in it. Only has a little bit of flour. So then the bracha is still Bar Pri Adam. But Tapshila, the lifta, it's a different vegetable. The Mavshe, Bakimcha, Tvei, you mix in, you add on a lot more flour. It doesn't have 51% flour, but it has more flour. So then the bracha is going to be bari minimum zaynis, even though it's less than 50%. That's kol sheyeshbo mechameshes mini dog. The first one, tapshila de silka, apparently the flour is only the devik bialma. But in the tapshila de lifta, it's not the devik bialma. That's what in Rav Kana's yeshiva, that's what they held. And even though it's less than 50%, it becomes the ikar. Vahada Raman, that later on he came to the realization on his own, it's not correct. Even Tapshila de Lifto is going to be Bar Pri Adama. Hadu Shadi Bekim Chatvei is only the Devik Biyama. Devik Biyama is Mamish a Tofel. Sometimes the Mishnah says that the bread is going to be a Tofel. If he ate the Maliach, and the Maliach is so sharp with the salt that he has to eat a piece of bread in order to get the salty flavor out of his mouth, so then the bread becomes a Tofel Mamish. So whatever is only the Devik Bialma is a tough on mamish. That's the shot when you make potato latkes. So there are different kinds of. So if you use potato flour, it's mamish like flour kemach. So the Ramah would say that's shahakol. The Ramah would say shahakol, and others would disagree. That was the machlokes we had. Rashi gave the definition of trima. He said beinam merusak. Was that relevant to Halacha that if it's merusak, that is panim chadosh of olakan, like parminu prima zuta, that is panim chadosh? So should I say no? It's not part of the definition. Well, merusak is just the translation of the word, but it's not relevant to Halacha. So according to the Ramah, the bracha on the potato latkes will be shahakol if it's made from potato flour. And according to others who disagree with the Ramah, the bracha will still be Bar Pri Adama. But let's say you made potato latkes, you grated the potatoes, not that you ground it up into flour. You grated the potatoes, you have chunks of the potato there. That's called Suris HaPri Nikeris. So then everyone will agree that the bracha should be Bar Pri Adama, but you mix in a little flour. So what motivates the balabasta to put in flour? So she just puts in a little bit of flour that it should hold together, that latkes shouldn't fall apart. That's only the Devik Bialma that everyone agrees that that's Mamash Tofel. But if you put in a little more flour, still less than 50%, you put a little more flour, that the eating of the latkes should be more filling. The latkes that you buy, the frozen latkes that you buy in the store and you have to reheat them at home, those have a lot of flour. It's less than 50%, but that's much more than only the Devik Bialma. So those will be mezainas, because the bird, the chamesh is mini dog, and are always considered the eagle. I don't know, that's stuck a difficult thing. Why should it be shahakol? Yeah. So you say everyone agrees. Ishtana lagamre. Everyone agrees. Okay? I don't know. Could be. Amrav chizit, tafshil shal tardin, borscht. Okay. Tardin is beets. So he says it's good for the heart, and it's good for the eyes, and it's good for the kishkes. Okay? Fine. Amra Papa. Pshitali, this I know for sure. Maya, the silka. silka, some kind of vegetable. My the silka kasilka. You say the bracha that you say on the vegetable, you say on the soup. My the lifta kalifta. Say barpi adam. My the kulushloki. You say adam on the vegetable soup, even if you removed all of the vegetables from the soup. Because they have bishul, it gives the flavor. Yeah. So the Pashto says, you see from the Gemara, that you don't need tzuris apri nikeres in order to say bari pri hadama. That's the Pashto Peshat. The Rosh only had a suffix, what if it's a fruit soup? That you need tzuris apri nikeres in order to say bari pri hoait. So then if you cooked fruit in the water, in the soup, and then you removed all of the fruit, then that's going to be a shayla. Should you say hoait on the soup or not? Maybe hoait is different from hadama. So we say it's not the same. We say on fruit soup you don't say ha'etz, but then you should say ha'adama. Why should it fall down all the way to become sha'akol? Just like vegetable soup is ha'adama, you don't need tzuris ha'pinikeres. So a fruit soup also, even if you remove all the fruit, it should be ha'adama. Unless it's a beverage. Beverage is a different thing. Then Tosfos said the klal, the beverages, the poskim like that third answer that Tosfos gave. Tosfos gave three answers. Why don't you say mezainis on beer? So the third answer was, b'shtiyah m'shakol, all beverages are shakol. Let's say borscht, different kinds of borscht. So sometimes the borscht you drink like a beverage, sometimes the borscht you drink like a soup. So if you drink it like a beverage, then it's shakol. Okay, some people like that beverage. And other people, it doesn't necessarily depend whether you drink it in a bowl or with a spoon or you drink it in a cup. Sometimes you drink it in a cup and it's still soup. Sometimes they serve soup in a cup and you hold it like this. And sometimes they serve it in a bowl, and it's really a beverage. Depends what the minhag hamakom is, whether you drink the borscht like a beverage or like a soup. So what does he say? The brach on all vegetable soups is adam. Boy, rap up in my the shifso Shabbos is some kind of a spice. It's like a twig, and it has some kind of leaves on the side. So the shaila is, when you cook this Shabbos, you cook it in some kind of a water, mai, what's the role of the Shabbos? Is it lamatuke taima avdi? Does it give an asinus tama, in which case you say barpi adama on the vegetable soup? Or perhaps it's only lavuri zuhama avdilo. Sometimes you use something just to clear out the... It succeeds in clearing out, let's say, if you make apple juice, I think. When you squeeze it, when you cook apples and make apple juice, it's going to be very cloudy. So they have a chemical that they pour in. They have a trefa chemical that they put in order to make it clear. So it's a trefa chemical, but that they remove all the particles of the trefa chemical. So Moshe has a tshuva, he says that's okay. There's no iser veim avat an iser l'chatchila because they pour in this trefa chemical intending to remove it. They're not interested in leaving it there. They only put in the chemical to make it clear. Like over here, lavur ezuhama. That's a gemara. If you cook basar b'cholov and the cholov succeeded in giving the sinas tam in the basar, so then it becomes basar b'cholov. So then if you use a chemical to essentially remove every single speck of cholov from the basar, so that's a machlokes achreinim, the shach. It's a mekufei, quotes a machlokes achreinim, whether it still retains the issa basa b'cholav. Once it became basa b'cholav, their issa remains basa b'cholav, or no, it's only basa b'cholav calls man that it's still together. If it's only basa b'cholav and it's still together, so then this is a gemara already. Let's say I'm cooking meat and I pour in a lot of milk, and I pour in so much milk that when you eat the meat, you can taste the flavor of the milk. But then I spill out all of the liquid in the pot, then I fill it up with water, and then I cook it again. It's a question if you're allowed to cook it again. Maybe you're in violation of Bishul Basar B'cholov. It already became Basar B'cholov the first time. You say, Yesh Bishul Achad Bishul, and maybe you should say the prohibition of Bishul Basar B'cholov is not to create Basar B'cholov. Once it already was created, it is Basar B'cholov. Maybe there's no issa to reheat it. Let's say Agoy. A guy has a meal, a basa b'cholov, and he asked me to please reheat it for him. Is there anything wrong if I do him a favor and I reheat it? Is that my iser, bishul basa b'cholov? They say, no, it already was basa b'cholov. So that's a diun, that's a machlek, it's an achreinim, and simen pei zayin in Yeridei. So let's assume, whatever, either it is bishul, it's not bishul. Forget about the iser of bishul basa b'cholov. So let's say you cook basar b'cholov and all the flesh tastes like milk. Then you pour out all the liquid, and then you fill it up with water, and you cook it. So a lot of the flavor of the milk will go into the water this time. So then you pour out that water, then you pour in more water. You keep on cooking the meat in a new amount of water, in order to remove all the flavor of the milk from the meat. You will not succeed in removing every single speck of milk. By the time you cook it a few times, there will be so much milk will be removed that by now you do have shishim in the meat. So that's a machlokes satanaim. That's in Chulan Daf Kufches. That's a machlokes satanaim. And we pass chaticha atzma nasis nevelu. We pass once it became basar b'cholov, even though once it became basar b'cholov, because the cholov did give the sinas tam into the basar. So even if you remove, so much milk that now there's so little milk left in the meat that now you can't discern the flavor, you can't taste the flavor, that remains basar b'cholov. But what happens if you remove every single speck of milk and there's no longer any milk at all? So that's 2 days in the shach, and the shach says l'chomer. That's a machlokes in Rishonim, and the shach says l'chomer. Yeah, but that's only by basar b'cholov. But by shari surim, that's a beferish gemar. Let's say the gemara has a case. You're broiling flesh, and the blood is dripping down. You didn't salt it before. You're broiling it, and the broiling is going to remove. The meaning is you do melicha muetas when you broil meat. So you do melicha muetas, and you have a pan on the bottom, and the meat is on a grate. So it's not sitting in his blood. All the blood is dripping down into the tray. But the blood is dripping down and the schmaltz is also dripping down. So years ago, people thought it's very smart, very healthy to eat schmaltz. Today we know that it's not healthy. But years ago, people lived to a ripe old age and they were very overweight and they didn't get heart attacks. Whatever. So the Gemara says, you have all of this schmaltz that has a lot of, it's cooked together with the blood. So the Gemara says, if you can succeed in removing every speck of blood from the schmaltz, the Gemara tells you some kind of a system. But us, we don't know how to do that trick. But in the days of the Gemara, they had a way to remove every speck of blood from the schmaltz. Then the Gemara said, the schmaltz becomes a mutter. I don't say chaticha nas nevela bishari surim like I say by basar b'cholov. Even though by basar b'cholov we paskin the shachad, the 2 days in simon kufei, we paskin even if you remove every speck of milk, since initially it became basar b'cholov, remains basar b'cholov, that's a din of macholas asuris. Let's say you have an animal that broke a leg in such a way that it became a treifa. And then the doctor does surgery on the animal, and now it's no longer a treifa. So that's a macholas, the Rosh and the Ramban. Ramban, let's say the animal broke a leg in such a location on the leg that it makes it into a treifa. But if it would have broken the leg an inch higher, then it would not be considered a treifa. So the shechet is smart. He takes a saw and he cuts off another inch. So by the time he shechts the animal, it's no longer a treifa. It broke a leg yesterday in such a way that it is a treifa. So cut off another inch, it'll be ois treifa. So Ramban says, okay, treifa chazeres nachshev. And the Rosh disagrees with the Ramban and the Shulchan Aruch. He passes like the Rosh. No such thing as a treifa chazeres nachshev. It's a klala macholas asuris. Once the thing becomes treifa, it remains treifa. So that's basar b'cholov is like that. You cook basar b'cholov, and the cholov succeeded in giving the sinas tam into the basar, and then you removed every speck of cholov. So we paskin that it still remains asur. Treifa ein chazeres nachsher. Once it became macholas asuris, it remains. But if you cooked the schmaltz together with the blood, the schmaltz doesn't become treif mitam blood. Basar b'cholov becomes basar b'cholov. The schmaltz remains mutter schmaltz, but you can't eat it because it has a lot of blood. So if you succeed in removing every speck of blood, then it's chazeres leheteres. So that's what they do by all of the apple juice companies. That when they make the apple juice, it's very cloudy. And Ramosha has a tshuva, even though they put in a treifa ingredient, but then they remove every speck of that treifa ingredient. And it's only mixed in, not to give an asinus tam, only mixed in to clear it up. So that's what the Gemara is mesupik. Why was the practice in the days of the Tanoim? They had this twig that had the leaves on it, and the leaves served as like a tavlin to cook it in soup. So they're not sure what was the role of the Shabbos. What was the role of this twig? Is it lematuke taima avdi? Does it give flavor into the soup? In which case, we say bari pri adoma, or maybe bari pri huetz. If it grows on a twig, it will be bari pri huetz. Like you say, if it smells good, so you say bari isbe bari atzeb zanim. If it's on a twig, so maybe you'll say. Something won't say bari pri huetz. Something say bari pri adoma. Fine. You say bari pri adoma, or should I say that the role of the Shabbos when you cook it in the pot is merely lavure zuha mo'avdilo, only to clear everything. In which case, it won't be bar pri hadoma. Just be whatever other things you have there. It'll just be plain shahakal. You must have toshma, there is a Mishnah, but the Mishnah says beferish, mishanasna tamik dera, that the Shabbos is cooked in the pot with the soup in order to add flavoring. So that's why it's considered, oichal. That's why it's chaladin of truma on it. That's the Mishnah says, mishanasna tamik dera, once you cooked it in the pot, and all flavoring went out from the twig and from the leaves in the Shabbos branch into the pot. So, and there's no longer roi to give any more flavoring, no longer roi to eat or anything. There's no longer truma. Truma only retains kedushas truma, calls man that it's oimed lachil asodom. Once I already cooked it in the pot with the water and the whole flavoring came out, and it can't function anymore as a tavlin, there's no longer a din of truma. If a zar will eat it, he won't be a chayim isa b'day shemai, he won't have to give karam b'chaymish. Then if a tam tum asoch, he's not b'kabal tum anymore. Kozman, you didn't cook it in the pot yet, so it's tavlin, it's roi to give in a sinas tam. So tavlin is also considered a noichel, and it can have tum asochlim. There are only four things that are b'kabal tum, four categories, odem, kelem, ochlem, amashkim. So tavlin is considered ochlem, even though you don't eat the tavlin itself, the tavlin is only to give in a sinas tam into the other food. Still, it has a din of Kedushas Truma, Chayvin Truma. Maybe it's only Midirabba. Okay. Menatora Truma is only a dog in Tirish V'yitzah. So for sure it's only Midirabba. Okay. And even according to the Rambam, that all Paris are Ilan, not Beraisa, but this is not called Paris Ilan. You never eat this thing. It only succeeds in giving an Asinas Tam. So Truma Stavlan for sure is only the Rabban. That's Gemara. Truma Stavlan is only the Rabban. So it says, once it gave him the sinas tam already, it no longer has the kedushas truma, and it's no longer mekabel tumas avdila. Shema mina lematuke taima avdila. Shema mina. You see from the lashon haMishnah, you see from the whole din like that. Mishnas tam. You see that it does give him the sinas tam. It's not only for the purpose of laburei zuhamo. Fine. Next gemara is very difficult gemara. You have a three-way machlokes: Rabchia bar Rashi and Rabchia and Rava. What exactly are they fighting about? On the first white line, Amar Rabchia bar Rashi passed tsunuma bekaira v'roch maleha hamoitzi. What does it mean? So Rashi learns passed tsunuma bekaira means you have sliced bread. You go to the grocery store and instead of going to the bakery and buying bread, you go to the grocery store and you buy a sliced bread. So the first opinion is that on a slice of bread you say hamoitzi. And this is in disagreement. Rabbi he holds that on a slice of bread, you don't say hamoitzi. Wow, that's how Rashi learns. Tosfos said that's impossible. What do you mean? Tosfos said before, if you have matzah farfel, you have matzah mel, you say hamoitzi, unless you cooked it, or unless you medabik et yachad with morok or with cholov. But if you just have plain matzah mel, or plain matzah farfel, so Tosfos said, of course it's hamoitzi. But Rashi learned this gemara not so. If you have sliced bread, so it's a machlokes. So the first opinion, Rabchia bar Rashi, says that a slice of bread retains the bracha moitzi, and this is in disagreement with Rabchia. Dam Rabchia tzor shetich lebracha im hapas. You have to say the bracha moitzi lech min haaretz. You have to finish the bracha as you're finishing to slice the bread. You have a big loaf of bread, and then you're slicing. So you say, but usually you're not allowed to be oisig b'malocha when you're saying a bracha, when you're davening or anything. But over here, this is the way you have to. We want to say hamotzi on a pas shlema. That's a hidden mitzvah, this hamotzi on a pas shlema. But you don't want to have such a long hapsake in between the brocha and the achila. So you have to start cutting. You have a big loaf of bread. So you start from the edge. So you say, on Shabbos, this, because Gemara is going to say later, it's more bekabedik to cut in the middle to show that l'kvot Shabbos is going to eat a lot of challah. But on the weekdays, you don't cut in the middle, you cut at the edge. So when you finish your bracha, you should be finishing the slicing. So So you won't have too long a pause in between the bracha and the beginning of the eating. You'll complete the bracha, tzav shetich lebracha, im hapas. You complete saying the bracha as you complete im prusas hapas. With the completion, what does Rashi say? Tzav shetich lebrachas hamotzi, im prusas haprusa min hapas. When you detach it, so you should finish hamotzi lachman arts as you finish cutting through the whole thickness of the challah, so of the bread, even on the weekday, so that you shouldn't have a long pause in between the amiras habracha and the eating. So why is this in disagreement with the first one? I would have said that Rav Chiya is only lachatchila, so shetich lebracha im hapas. But b'dieved, if you have a sliced bread, so you still say hamotzi lachman arts. Somehow the Gemara understood not so. The Gemara understood the Rav Chiya's leikuva, that if you have sliced bread and you're not doing a bitziah, then you don't say hamotzi. You only say bari minim zaris. What a strange Gemara. That's how the Gemara says in Machlokes. The first opinion is that on sliced bread you still say hamotzi, and the second opinion is no. On sliced bread you don't say hamotzi. Why don't you say hamotzi lechem in ha'aretz? Rashi and Chumash writes in Bereshis, I think he writes by Yosef HaTzadik, says to Eshes Potifar that her husband lo yodaiti ma baboiskim alech mashuhu ochel. All he knows is the lech mashuhu ochel. So I think Rashi quotes Wamsha alech mashuhu ochel means his wife. He refers to his wife. Then I think Rashi quotes another pshat, that lecha means a meal. It doesn't mean bread. As it says in Daniel, Ovad lechem rav, the king had a big meal. And the word lechem doesn't always mean bread. We were learning lechem oini and hoi bachochem lechem oitz lechem. Lechem is pas. And sometimes in biblical Hebrew, the word lechem means a meal. So perhaps that's what Rashi understood over here. Pliga de Rav Chiya says, amotzi lechem en hoitz, you only say if you have a big loaf of bread and you do a bitziah. So a bitziah is symbolic of the fact that you're eating a whole. You don't say amotzi on bread. You say amotzi on a meal. Ovad lechem rav means he made a big meal. So you do betzias hapas, taking the challah and cutting it, is the symbol of eating a meal. So if the bread is already sliced, so you can't do betzia. So you don't say just same as oinus. Yeah. And what does the first mandama disagree? Rav Chiya says even pas sinum of bekaira. It's also mevarchem olav hamotzi. So the pasuk pshat is that he holds hamotzi lachman arutz. It goes on bread, and it is bread. It doesn't go on ovad lechem rav. Goes on a meal and betziah. Well, you could say no. One could suggest that even the first mandamer also agrees that you say hamotzi lachman arutz when you do betziah. But the argument is it meaningful to do betziah on a slice of bread? Maybe betziah sapas only goes if you have a whole loaf of bread, and then you take a knife. And you're cutting through it, that's called bitziah. But if you have a slice of bread, all you have to do is break off a little bit, that's not called bitziah. So maybe that's the machlokes. The first one says, Rav Chiya Barashi says, Pasnum and Bekaira. You still say hamotzi. Maybe he also agrees with Rav Chiya that you need bitziah. But he holds that is also called bitziah. We'll take a slice and break off a little bit. The Rav Kamina says, if you have a sliced bread, you say hamotzi, and you start munching the slice. But you have to, when we pass like the first one. Yeah, but the way Rashi is learning. Taisa doesn't learn like Rashi. Taisa, this is ridiculous. What do you mean? Sliced bread, you don't say amoitzi. You say amoitzi on matzah mel. Matzah far from matzah mel, unless you medabek yachah with mora. So Taisa doesn't agree with Rashi. But the Shad is according to Rashi, that we pass like the first one. You do say amoitzi on sliced bread. So do you say, let's say I have a sandwich. So the man in America, I have a sandwich, say amoitzi, and start biting into the sandwich. But Europeans don't do it like that. The Rabbanim from Europe, they'll say hamotzi, then they'll break off a little bit from one of the slices of bread and they'll eat it. They do a bit siya on the pas tsinuma. So they understood as if the second mandama says, Soch shetich lebrocha im hapas, according to Rashi, you need bit siya in order to say hamotzi lachmarotz. Because the word lechem really means a meal. So bit siya is symbolic of a meal. And even the first mandama, Rav Chiya Barashi doesn't really disagree. He holds that he can even do bitziah on a slice of bread. But you don't take the sandwich and bite into it. You don't take a roll. Let's say, you can't take a big loaf of bread and bite into it. It's too big. But a little roll you can bite into. So Rashi perhaps learns that they both hold that you don't say hamoitzi unless you do a betziah. They just argue, does it make sense? Is it shaykh to do a betziah on a slice of bread? So the first madama says yes. Why the amra priya? You need a real betziah on a loaf, not a betziah on a slice. Kula chidish. If you don't do a betziah, you don't say hamoitzi because the word lechem means ovad lechem rav. It's a big chidish. Tez doesn't like the whole pshat. Tez doesn't like it. Let's see. Maskev la rov, so rov doesn't think the rapchia makes sense. Mashdut snuma, the law, you say the rapchia bar, rapchia disagrees, pliga the rapchia. Rapchia disagrees with the first one. Rapchia barash, he holds on a slice of bread. You don't say hamoitzi. Why? Because you know betzia. Maisnat snuma, the law, mishum dechi kalya, broche, aprusa kakalya. You only say hamoitzi if it's a shlema. This doesn't fit in with the Rashi. The way Rashi seems to say that the issue is, do you need betzia? Or is it called betzia if you have a slice of bread? This line reads better the way Tosfos reads. That Tosfos says the whole discussion is that you're supposed to, it's preferable to say hamoitzi on a shlema as opposed to a prusa. So what is Rav Taina? Maishnan Tzuma Delo, you said Rav Chia disagrees with Rav Chia Barashi. Why does he disagree? Mishum dechikalya brocha prusa kakalya. Doesn't say because he need bitziya. Doesn't sound like we said in Rashi. That's why Tosis has a different shot. We'll see in a minute Tosis shot. So what's Rav's Taina? You don't say amoitzi on a slice of bread. Because it's not a shlema. So nudin, you only say hamoitzi if it's a shlema. So he says, so what does Rav Chia accomplish if you're going to complete the bracha hamoitzi lechem rav simultaneously with the completion of the slicing of the first slice at the end of the roll? So aprusa, yeah. Again, maishnu tzuma delo, why does Rav Chia disagree with the Rav Chia Barashi? And you don't say hamoitzi on a slice of bread. Mishum dechikalya broche aprusa kakalya. You got to say the broche when it's still shlema. You have to complete the broche when it's still shlema. So what is the help if it is shlema? Ala pas nami, even if it is shlema, kiko gomro aprusa gomro. He's going to complete the broche. By the time he finishes the broche, the thing is going to be cut. He's completing the broche simultaneously with the gemara of the slicing. So Rabbi doesn't understand. If you say Rav Chia is in disagreement with Rav Chia Barashi, so Rav Chia does make sense? What do you gain by saying the bracha and completing the bracha, Moetzi Lech Menorah, the last two words, Min Ha'aretz, are pronounced simultaneously with the completion of the slicing? It does make sense. Elam HaRabbah, Rabbah says no. You have no choice. Mevarach Achakach Moetzi, you should retain the Shlema and say the whole bracha while it's still shlema, and after you finish saying the bracha, then you cut it. You can cut Tosfos claims, you can cut a little bit. Let's say I have a big challah that's 4 inches tall, a big fat challah 4 inches tall. So if you cut into it 2 inches, whether you pick up this end or you pick up the other end, if I pick it up in this end, the other half will not fall off. If I pick up in this end, the other half will not fall off. That's still considered a shlema. So you cut on the weekday, so you'll cut halfway through. So you'll minimize the hefsek between the completion of the bracha and the eating. You should try not to be mafsek. Let's say if you talk in between the bracha and eating the food, you have to repeat the bracha. So even if you shaya a long time, it's not right. You don't have to repeat the bracha. It will be mitzvah, but you shouldn't be shaya too long. You shouldn't get engaged in some other activity that's not really necessary for eating the bread. So one activity would be, let's say, to say hamoitzi lechem rav, and then to cut the whole slice, the whole 4 inches deep. So why do you wait to cut the whole slice till after you finish the brocha? So it says, no, mevorach v'achakach b'tzeh means you say the brocha when you cut halfway in, and it's still called the shlema, because when you pick up this end or that end, the other half will go along with it, it won't fall apart. So it's still considered the shlema. And then after you finish hamoitzi lechem haaretz, then you cut the rest.
It goes by when you pick up one end, the other end won't fall, or even on the table, you pull it, it will go together.
No, I think the Rishonim. I think the Rishonim quote a Mishnah that it depends. It's one unit. If you pick up one end, maybe you say that's also called picking up. I don't know. Could be. I don't know. On Shabbos, Taisus is more concerned than on the weekdays. On Shabbos, they say you shouldn't cut halfway through because you may by mistake cut too far through, then you won't have a shleim anymore. On Shabbos, the Gemara requires lechem mishnah zeichel amon, and the pashtus is the lechem mishnah should be two shleimus. So if you're going to cut too far in on Shabbos, you're going to lose out on the lechem mishnah. Tzitziv has a tshuva where he says that in the yeshiva and Volozhin, by the time it came Shal Shudis, they had a ton of rolls, and by the time it came Shal Shudis, they already ran out, the half of the yeshiva ran out of shleimus. So the minhag used to be, they would cut chalas and leave broken chalas, they would cut, leave half chalas there. So the minhag was that the bachim would take two half chalas and say amoitzi on the two. That's what they had fulfilled. They would fulfill lech mishnah like that. So then Tzitziv says that it is. It is proper. More correct is to have lecha mishnah, two shleimus, but if you have two prusas, it's also called lecha mishnah. You have a double, also a shtikel lecha mishnah. So that's what, but more correct is to have two shleimus. So that's what they says on the weekdays. You need a shleimah because of the hidden mitzvah. It's preferable to say amotzi over a, it's preferable to say bar pihoitz over the orange or over the apple before you rip it apart. Then first slicing a piece of apple and then saying bar piwaits. Because it's better to say the bracha when it's still the shleimah. So the same thing, the challah. And the weekdays you want that it should be shleimah. But if you cut halfway through, it's still going to be considered a shleimah. But on Shabbos, we're more makbid, because lechatchila, more proper, is more correct, is you should have lecha mishnah, both shleimahs. So they said, you don't cut all the way half through. You don't cut half through. So many have the meaning that you make a little rishima. You take enough, you make just a scratch on the top of the challah, less than a 16th of an inch, to demonstrate that you really would have liked to cut deeper and to cut less in between the Gemara HaBracha and the eating of the food. But because it's Shabbos today, you want to make sure you don't ruin your Lechem Mishnah Shleimus, so that's why we didn't cut. So they just cut a 16th of an inch on top, just cut a little bit on top, but then it takes extra time to find, after you say HaMotzi, then it takes time till you find the scratch. So at the end of the day, it's going to be a little longer. It's going to take a little longer until you find the scratch, and you should cut where the scratch was. Okay.
And in the case, mark out for the shleimus?
Not really. It's mark out because you ran out of shleimus. Yeah. There is an opinion that by suda shlishis, you don't need lecha mishnah. All you need is one shleimus. Because they had a double portion on Shabbat on Friday. So on Friday night they had, every day enough came down for two meals. So on Friday came down four, let's say, imagine, enough for one roll for morning, one roll for breakfast, one roll for supper. So on Erev Shabbos, enough one came down, enough for two rolls on Erev Shabbos and two rolls on Shabbos. So on Friday night you had all the four rolls there. And on Shabbos morning you have three rolls. Again, on Lecha Mishnah came down on Friday morning. So Friday for breakfast, they would have one roll. Friday for supper, they would have three rolls. So they would eat one of the three. Shabbos morning, they had two rolls from the four, from the Lecha Mishnah that fell down. So Shabbos morning, there was Lecha Mishnah, there were two rolls. Shabbos to Shalom Shudas, there was only one roll. That's what some of the Rishon, that's what leads some of the Rishon to say that Shalom Shudas, you never need Lecha Mishnah. But Shulchan Aruch, we don't paskin like that. We paskin should have lechem mishnah even shalosh shudas. And the Zohar says that you should have 12 chalas on the table on Shabbos zechel lechem aponim. That there were 12 lechem aponim. They used to switch that. They used to bake lechem aponim every Friday and switch it on Shabbos. They would take off the old lechem aponim, put on the new lechem aponim. So what do you mean 12? There aren't 12. So by many chassidim, they're makbid when they say amoitzi on Shabbos. They have, in addition to the two chalas that they're cutting, they'll have another 10 chalas on the table, sach hakol 12. And the Vilna Gaon said that that's a mistake, that it's a misprint, and the Zohar shouldn't say 12 chalas, it should say 12 chatzoim. 12 chatzoim, aches. Friday night you have lechem mishnah, you cut it in half. And Shabbos morning you have lechem mishnah, you cut both in half. And Shabbos to Shalosh Shuvos is the halacha Mishnah and cut in half. So you have 2, 2, and 2 is 6. You cut everything in half is 12. That's what the Gaon says based on the Gemara. That here's the Gemara. 7 lines from the bottom of Lamed Tes on the base. What does it say? Over Shabbos Chai Vanim Lepzal Shteki Kors. My time of Lecha Mishnik says, Vam Ravashi, Chazin Alei Lerav Kana, the Noket Tarti, Lecha Mishnik took two, Ubatzal Chari, he only cut one. Rav Zer Havi Batzal Kula Shei Russo. What does that mean? So Rashi says, instead of, on the weekdays, when you have a roll, you have a long Italian bread, so you cut at the edge. You cut at the end, you get a slice. You don't cut in the middle. Why should you cut the middle? You cut at the end. And on Shabbos, you don't cut at the end to have the slice to eat. You cut in the middle the amount of challah that you're going to eat for the whole meal. It shows that you plan to eat a lot. So that the Gemara says, that's kubotza akula sheibus. Amr abdin rabashi kamehsi kirab sanusa. He looks like a chazer. He looks like he's starving. What was he cutting in the middle of the challah for? Do like on the weekdays. Cut one slice at the edge. Everything more. And for the Gemara, Omalei, Sarav Hashayensis, came to call Yamaloi Kovid Hachi, 6 days a week, it doesn't do it. V'hoid, only today on Shabbos Kovid, he only does it on Shabbos, then he cuts in the middle. So, lo mischazi ki rab sanrusa, it doesn't look like a chaza. It doesn't look like he's starving. Because all 6 days of the week, he never does. So that's how Rashi learns. Batzal kul d'shei rusa, he would cut a big piece of the challah. And the Rashba learns, Batzal kul d'shei rusa, he would cut the both challah. So it's only called Lecha Mishnah if he cut both. So the Vilna Gaon says that that's the more correct shot in the Gemara, to cut both, because that's backed up with this passage in the Zohar. That the Zohar says you should have the way the Vilna Gaon corrected, where he amended the Girsa. That it shouldn't say that you say Hamotzi on Shabbos on 12 challahs, you should say you say Hamotzi on 12 chatzoin. Because Friday night you have 2, Shabbos morning you have 2, Shalosh Shuvos you have 2, you have 6 altogether, and you cut them all in half, that's when you cut the both chalas. If you have 2 and you only cut 1, so the one you didn't cut, it's like it's still in the bakery, like it's still in the freezer, so it's not mitzarf to the Lecha Mishnah. It's only mitzarf if you cut it. So that's machlekes Rashi and the Rashba, how do you translate botzak kulashevus? Yeah. So again, so Robert disagrees with Rav Chi. He says, what does it help that you're going to complete the bracha? What's yilecha min ha'aretz? Min ha'aretz with the final cutting through of the challah. But in the end of the day, when you finish the bracha, it's not a shleima anymore. So Rav said, that's not right. You shouldn't finish the bracha simultaneously with the cutting. You finish the bracha before you cut the challah, so that the whole challah is still a shleima at the time of the bracha. So what does the Gemara say? Nardoy Abdi Ki Rav Chiya. They followed the practice of Rav Chiya to finish the bracha simultaneously with the cutting of the challah. The Rabbanan, all the Talmidim, in the yeshiva, Abdi Ki Rava, they followed Rava. So it's Machlag is Halach on the Mice, how are you supposed to finish it? Ravina Amri Liyim. He was probably a Yosin. He says he hears things, yeah. My mother told me, or my, either Amri Liyim means my mother told me, or Amri Liyim means the woman who raised me, told me, Avuch, he never saw his father, says, Avuch Ovid Ki Rav Chiya. Your father used to follow the practice of Rav Chiya, that what? The Amri Rav Chiya Tzach Shetich Lebrach Im Apas. You should complete the last two words you should say simultaneously with the cutting through and through of the pas. So that was Rav Chiya. So some follow Rav Chiya. That's what his mother told him. Amar Liyim, I heard from my mother, heard from the woman who raised me, whatever it means. Avuch, Ovid Ki Rav Chiya. He would complete the bracha, Motzi Lech Menaretz, with the completion of the cutting. However, the Talmidim Avdi Ki Rava, they said the whole bracha, they finished the whole bracha before they did any bitziyah at all. Yeah, then we passed like Rava. should not complete the bracha simultaneously with the cutting of the pas. He should finish the whole bracha before. So that's how Rashi learns. Rashi learns that there was machlokes on Amud Aleph. If you have sliced bread, do you say amoitzi? So the first Madama says, of course you say amoitzi. That's what we would say. And the second one says, no, because you only say amoitzi if you do a bitziya. Probably because he understands, I think Rav Soloveitchik probably said that, based on that Rashi and Bereshis, he says, Ovad Lechem Rav is a pasuk of Daniel, and the word lechem in that the context, not pasuk, means a meal. It doesn't mean bread. The Motzi Lechem and Aretz is only recited when you do a bit Tzias HaPas. Tzias HaPas only if it's a big loaf, but if you have sliced bread, you rip off a little bit. So the second opinion, Rav Chia holds that that's not called bit Tzias HaPas. And that's the question. The first one disagrees. He holds, no. Say, Motzi Lechem Aretz on lechem. Or he say, no. He also agrees that you need bit Tzias, but he holds you can do a bit Tzias on a slice. So that'll be the nafka minhag. Can you bite into the sandwich? In America, that's the meaning. You bite into the sandwich. You don't do it like the Europeans. Break off a little from the sandwich. So that's a shaila. Did the first mandama who said that you say hamoitzi even on sliced bread, does he mean only provided that you did a bitziah, that you broke off a piece, or even if you bit into the sandwich, you also say hamoitzi? So that's the shaila. Yeah.
So that's lechem also.
Lechem also means the whole meal. Probably there too. Probably is correct. But the madula bod ben she'al lechem means to the meal. Does mean to the bread. That's right. Yeah. That's how Rashi learns. Tosis is not happy with Rashi. Tosis says, what are you talking about? It's against the whole sugya. The way Tosis read that on matzah meal you say hamayitzin, unless you stuck it together with morakol cholov. So Tosis doesn't hold like Rashi. What they said, Yeshleimar, the story is, Tosis has on the fourth line, Yeshleimar kagon de'ikar shleimo lefanov. He has a shleimo and he has a slice. So botzam in ha'tznuma. Rabchia barashi sova da'havi kemo shleimo me'acha shehi chaviva mevorech aleha. Why is it chaviva? Yeah, what does this say? Yishlam kandika shleimu b'fanu v'batzim ben atznuma. Apriya barashi sabar da'havi kemo shleimu me'achashi chaviva mevoruch aleho. There's a mila to say a brocha on an orange when it's still a shleimu. It's a brocha on a chala when it's a shleimu. And the Gemara Nami Beis is going to have a shaila, which is better, shleimu or gedoylo. If you have two... Let's say you have leftover challah from Shabbos, and you're going to say amoitzi on Sunday. So you have a gigantic half of a challah that's left over, then you have a third of a challah, a quarter of a challah left over. So it's preferable, it's more bekovedik, it's a hida mitzvah to say the bracha over a bigger size piece of bread than over a smaller size piece of bread. Then it's a machlokes, the Gemara is going to have a machlokes, but if it's one is a shlema and one is a gedola, one is bigger than the other, but the smaller one is a shlema. So which one is better? So we pass on the shlema is preferable. The shlema beats out the gedola. So Tosfos learns on Amud Aleph, that's what we're talking about. You have a shlema, but you have a sliced challah, and the sliced challah he likes better. It's tastier. It's chaviv. So which of the two wins? Like on Amud Beis, there's a machlokes. One is shlema, and one is gedola. Say on Amud Aleph, it's a machlokes. One is shleim and one is chaviva, because it tastes better. So that's the machlokes. So Rav Chiya Sverlei, Tzoch Shetich Lebrocha Im HaPas. What does that mean? It came being Shetich LeHabrocha Im Betzias HaPas. Came Shebetzua Kodem Lachain Shleim HaOdif. It's preferable to have the shleim than to have the chaviv. That's how Tosis reads. So a lot missing in the Gemara. Ableileka shleima. Everybody agrees that you say hamotzi on matzah mil and on matzah far. That's what Tosis claims. What the Gemara says, a pliga de rapriya, there's machlokes between rapriya by Rashi and rapriya, the machlokes is, which is preferable, the shlema or the choviv? Because the prusa is choviv. It doesn't really say in the Gemara. Yeah. What does the Gemara say? How do we pass? Echus a kerova, tama mevarach achakach botzea. You should really finish the whole bracha and botzea lechem haaretz before you continue, before you finish cutting through the whole pass. So the pass should be still shlema at the time you finish the bracha. Okay. And it's only called shlema if you can pick up one end and the other end will go along with it. If you cut it so deep into the chal that it pick up the smaller end, the big one is going to fall off. Because it's so heavy, then it's not called the shleima anymore. Okay. Now the Gemara has the machlokes. Itmar, have you lift name petisa and shleima? Should you say amotzi on the petisa and around the shleima? So the pasuk, of course, you say on the shleima. The shleima is a heather. Why should you say on the petisa? Amar avinu mevarach al petisa and petos al shleima. Why dafke? Mevarach al petisa. What does Rashi say? Rashi says that this opinion, the first one, Rav Huna, holds that there's no maila at all to have a shleima. Rashi writes, "Tisan shleima, am Rav Huna em yirtze em rotzam levaruch ala ptisan. Vim ha ptisan gedolim en ha shleima, tzach levaruch alem gedolo." If one is larger than the other, that for sure is a maila. What if one is not larger than the other, but it's a shleima? So is shleima a maila or not? So Rashi learns that that's a machloite samaroi. Baruch al ha-ptisan if he wants to. It's optional. There's no maila in saying on the shleima. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. No, shleima mitzvah na mukha. There is a maila. It's a hidden mitzvah to say on the shleima. But despite the fact that that's how we assume. There is a maila to say on the shleima. But despite the fact that there's a maila to say on the shleima, avol, if you have the following case. Prusa shel chitim shleima min atzorim dirakol v'rach ala prusa shel chitim v'rach ala shleima shel sir. The mile of chitim over wheat, over barley is basically meichel behema. And wheat is meichel odom. So the mile of having bread made from wheat outweighs the mile of shleima. So if the Se'orim, if the barley bread is a shleima, but the wheat is a prusa, so the maila of chita outweighs the maila of shleima. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yirmei Baraba Kitanoi. What is Kitanoi? Rashi. Hode Amar prusa shel chita mishleima shel sorim. Which is the bigger maila, the shleima or the chitim? Why should I think that chitim is more important than sorim? Because of the pasuk the Gemara has on the next daf. The Gemara has man malif and man alif has the pasuk. Kol amukdam pasuk is amukdam lebracha. It's a seder lachatchila how to say all the brachas to eat in that order. So the chitim is more important than the sorim. What does it say? What's kitanoi? The machlekes hatanoim, the last thing that we said, that chita is more important than sorah, even though the sorah is a shleima. Where do you see that in this Mishnah and Trumas? There's a din when you're mafish shumish, you'll always be mafish min ayofeh. Atar min arah al ayofeh is in violation of an essay. It says, barim chem es chelba mimena. Well, let's see, so of chet, barim chem es chelba mimena. Chelba means min amuvcha. You should always be mafish min amuvcha. So the Gemara says, atar min arah al ayofeh, if you're mafish from the lesser quality potatoes over the better quality potatoes, you're in violation of the essay. There's a mitzvah hasei, barech mei meschel b'men, chelab means a mufcha. So what's considered mufcha? So there's a machlekes hatana. You have your mafish, chumas maises on onions. Onions is only midirabbanon. Okay, mafish to him. Now, Torah is only dog and tirish v'itzim, according to the Ram, all peris to ilam. But onions is vegetables, so that's maisa yerik, v'shur is only with the Rabbanah. The tarmen batzel katan sholem, avloch hatzi batzel gadol. He has a tosa. He can either be mafish an onion that's complete, but it's small in size, batzel katan shalem, or it can be mafresh, a batzel gadol, which is only, there was a gigantic onion, and you have, I cut off half of it, and the half that's left is bigger than the other onion, that's a davar shalem. So which is preferable to give to the kohen? So that's a machlokes hatanoim. So the first time it says, tarmeh batzel katan shalem shlemus beats out the large size, the godless. Rabbi Yudam, loiki, loiki means loikach, not correct, that the chatzi batzel gadol is preferable. My lab ha'okam v'flig ma'asav v'choshe v'odim ma'asavar, shalom arit, that's a machlokes. Whether shalem beats out what? What's the alternative over here? What does Rashi say? Kitanoi hodi amrit pruso shalchitim shlema shalserim. That's a machlekes atanoi. What do you see over here? Avloch hati botzel gadol apal pishesh bo yoser mikotn shalem. So it's a dosa between one is gadol. The half an onion is bigger than the shalem onion. So that's a machlokes. Which one wins? Which is a better hidah mitzvah, the shalem or the gadol? Yeah, but how does it? There's a famous story by Rabbi Saul Salanter. He had the three most outstanding talmidim that he had. Or Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer, Rabbi Yitzchak of Petterburg, he was a rabbi in St. Petersburg. And Rabbi Naftali Amsterdam, he was a rabbi in different cities. And then they both retired to Eretz Yisrael later in life. And then Rabbi Simcha Zisel Kelema, Simcha Zisel Zif, he founded the Talmud Torah in Kelem. Talmud Torah had secular studies. It was a high school. And they had secular studies. That was a big chiddush at that time, that they had learning with a secular education. So the strongest in learning from the Talmidim was Rabbi Yitzchak of Petterburg. He wrote the Tshuvas Pri Yitzchak, very strong. So people had tarumas against Rabbi Saul Salanter that he wound up Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer that he should be involved in the Musar. If he wouldn't have gotten involved in the Musar, he would have been even a greater Gadol. He was a tremendous, his Tshuvas are very strong. And if he wouldn't have been involved with the Musar movement, he would have been even stronger in learning. Rabbi Saul Salanter said, you see from this Gemara, that whenever there's a toss-up between Shlemus and Gadlus, so Shlemus wins. He used the term Shlemus in the sense of Odom HaSholem, that is the Balmidus. And Gadlus in the sense that he knows how to learn tremendously. So you see from the Gemara, that's what the Gemara has, the Shaila. The Machlokes HaTanaim and Trumas. You have to be Machrish Min HaMuvchor, so what's Muvchor? So if one is bigger, one... You're going to be mafresh an onion. So if one onion is bigger than the other, so that's mina mufcher. One onion is a shalom, one onion is a prusa, so the shalom is wins. And what if one is a shalom small, and one is a prusa, but it's much bigger? So that sounds like hitanoi. That sounds like that was a machlok satanai. With the term of batzel kot mishalom, avlo chatzi batzel gadol, the one is bigger than the other, but the smaller one is shalom. So we assume that the Shlemus beats out the Gadlus. That's what Rabbi Saul Salanter said. Shlemus is more important than Gadlus. Yeah, but how does it fit into the whole story over here? It's so unclear. Again, Hevil if named Ptisin Ushlema, Amar Avuna Baruch Ala Ptisin, if he wants. The Ravuna holds that Sholem is not a mile at all. It's Lamala Vilamarit. Shlemus is not a mile at all. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Not only is it a mile, it beats out the mile of Gadl. Shlema mitzvah min amukha, it is a mile. The first mandama Rapuna holds, Mivarach ala ptisin, potes ha-shlema nim yirtze, if he wants them. If he wants to, he can say on the shlema, if he wants to, he can say on the ptisin, because there's no mile of shalom at all. He doesn't hold, there's no mile of shalom at all. Rabbi Yechon holds, no, not only is there a mile, the mile of shalom beats out the mile of Godel. So then they say, kitat. But then they say the mile of chitim over saorim, Michael Odom over Michael Beim, saorim is Michael Beim. The mile of chitim over saorim certainly beats out the mile of shalom. Fine. And then they say kitanoi. Which is kitanoi? So Rashi says kitanoi. The last thing that we said, that the chitim, the mile of chitim, being Michael Beim as opposed to saorim is Michael, chitim is Michael Odom, and saorim is Michael Beim. So the mile of chit and mavisar and bitzat and maila of bitzat and maila of shalem. And that's kitanoi. What's the parallel? Why is it kitanoi? And the Mishnah is a different machlokes. Shleimus versus gadlus. It's not a machlokes. Shleimus versus chit and achalod and machal behemoth. Not the same. So what's, why do they make an equation over here? So he says that's a machlokes atanoim. My la b'okam b'fligi. The ma'asav b'choshev odif. The ma'asav b'sholem odif. Tanakama holds Shalem Adiv, so it's better to have Shalem than to have Gadol. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer Loiki Loikach Elachatzi Botzul Gadol, that Gadlus is better than Shleimus. So how does that apply to the Chitim and the Sof? Why do I think that there's a parallel over here? That's strange. I don't know.
Could it just be
in
my focus about Chashuv versus Shalem? Chitin over
Sarin
and Gadol over Katan are both a form of
Hashivas. I mean, Gadol is a Hashivas and Chitim is a Hashivas. So that's what the Gemara made in the equation. If one is more Hashiv than the other, but the other one is Shalem, so the Shalem is also Hashiv. It's also a Hashiv. I mean, which Hashivas? So you're talking about which Hashivas beats out which other one. So one Hashivas is Shalem. The other Hashivas is either Chitim over Sarin or Gadol over Katan. So why they make an equation between Gadol over Shalem is equal to Chitim over Sarim? Why are those equal? Shalem is also a Hashivas. Shleimus is also a Hashivas. The whole topic is there's a din of Hida Mitzvah. And the first bit that you say, the bracha is chal on the first morsel of food that you eat. So to have a more bekovedik first bite of food, that's considered a Hida Mitzvah because the bracha is chal on that. That's what we. That's the whole premise of the whole Gemara here. Bracha is chal on the first bit. So why did they make an equation between Chitim over Sorim and Gadol over Katan? Why are those the same? Gadol is a Maila and Chitim Achalodim is a Maila and Shalom is a Maila. So discuss which Maila outweighs which. Why do you make an equation between these two Mailas? I don't know.
If you do Bipsiya, so no matter what, the first morsel that you eat is not going to be Shalom. If you do Bipsiya for the pass.
Like. No, you say the bracha before you do the Bipsiya. That's what Rabbi says. The top line, you finish the bracha in the state of Shalom, and then you do the Bipsiya later.
But the first morsel that you eat, you're eating the piece. You're not eating the whole Shalom.
No, but the whole Chashiva says at the time of the bracha, so then the food that you're going to swallow first is a Heftah Shal Mitzvah. You're reciting the bracha relates to that first bit of food. So that first bit of food should be a Hida Mitzvah, it should be Shalem, should be Michael Adam, it should be larger. But then if you have a toss-up, so how do you know which Mila beats out which, and why should you assume that these two are equal? I don't know. I don't know. So the Gemara says, my love, nochamo. So the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, machleg sabyud in the Tanakhama. Then the Gemara says, my love, behokam afligi, masav choshev adiv, masav shalom adiv. Tanakhama holds that shalom is better, and Abyud holds that choshev is better. Why is that called choshev? I don't know. Larger in size, it's called choshev. I don't know. So then what does the Gemara do? The Gemara says, no. If there's a coin easily available, kolam la pligi the choshev adiv. You forget about shalom. Ki pligi the lack of coin, there's no coin available on the spot right away. So you're going to be mafresh truma. You're going to have to wait a week or two or whatever till the coin shows up. So then you should really be mafresh min amiskayim. Then the trick is be mafresh on something that's going to last a longer period of time. That's supposed to be. There's a din of mishmeres tumas. It's not supposed to be mafresh truma. You're not supposed to be mafresh truma from a thing that's going to have a less of a chance to be miskayim. You're not going to get to give it to a coin till a week or two later. So mafresh from a dover sheyiskayim, something that's going to last longer. Now put it in the refrigerator, or be mafresh from a dover shalom, so it won't dry up. If you're going to be mafresh from an onion that's half cut and half of it is missing, it's going to dry up faster. If it's still a davar shalom, it's going to be preserved for a longer period of time. So that's the Gemara says. My lab hakamfli masav b'chashavah and masav shalom odif. Is shalom the highest milo? Maybe the rather milo is not a higher. Maybe the fact that it's machalodam chitim as opposed to serum is a milo that beats out shalom. But the gradle should beat out the shalom. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. You don't have to say that that's the machalikas. If you don't eat that, it should be preserved. You're going to give it to the kohen today. He's going to eat it for the first available opportunity. When is there a machlokes? The leka kohen. Keep ligi. The leka kohen. There's no kohen available on the spot. Usnan. We have this nan. Usnan. It says the Mishnah. Komach mishesh kohen. Torah min ayofa. So therefore what? We're talking about there's no coin. So there's no coin, so you should come up machine coin, termina miskaim. If you're a man, termina mayof. Then come hose mafish mana miskaim. So davar shalom is gonna last longer. It won't dry up. And Rabbi Yehuda says no, there's always a din of termina yof. Barim chem is chalba mimena. The Rabban counts it as one of the tayag mitzvahs. To be mafish mana mufcha. Barim chem is chalba mimena. Chalba means mana mufcha. It doesn't explain it well. So how should we paskan halacha lemaisa? You have one is a sholem and one is a gdoila. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Yirei Shemayim Yetzei Yidei Shneim. There's a way to satisfy both opinions. Amano, who is the one who tried to satisfy the both opinions? Which is Odef, the sholem or the larger size? Omana Marbei de Rabina, what did he do? Marbei de Rabina, Meniach Prusi B'toch HaShleim, Hu Batzeya. You should say Amoitzi on both at the same time. The Gemara says in the last Perek on Sanhedrin, the Chelek, the Gemara says, when you say Amoitzi, you should really say Amoitzi, you should, the first bit that you should eat first should be the crust. That's also Min HaMufcha, the bracha should be on the crust, you should eat that first. So I think the Gemara has two versions. Which crust? The top crust or the bottom crust? So misafik, we want to satisfy both. So when you have a slice of challah, someone's slicing the challah on Shabbos, take your slice, fold it over, and you'll bite into the top crust and the bottom crust at the same time. So like over here, Yirei Shemayim Yetzir Yedei Shneim, say the bracha on the one, you say the bracha on both, on the Prusa, which is Gedola, and on the Shlema, which is the Ketana. So you can satisfy the both opinions. That's what he says. Yireshamayim Yetzir Yedei Shneim is a Melitza based on a Pasuk in Koheles. It's such a Pasuk in Koheles. And the Medrash Rabbah has on that Pasuk, Zeh Rabba Bo Bekisrin. So the standard Mefarshim on the bottom of the page of the Medrash Rabbah, they say, because the Gemara says in the end of Rosh Hashanah, there was a Machlekes HaTanaim. What are the truas supposed to sound like? It says, Nechomesh Yom Truah Yalachem Tagmin and Yom Yabava. Yabava means to cry. So there are three different ways to cry. You can cry like Shvarim, you can cry like Truah, you can cry like Shvarim Truah. Nobody ever cries Truah Shvarim. There are three possibilities, Shvarim or Truah or Shvarim Truah. So Rababo Vikisri made a takana, that's what the Medrash says, Yirei Shemayim. Yetzi Deshneyam, he made a takana to satisfy all the logical possibilities, all the three possibilities. That's what the standard Mefarshim would say. Others say, no, Yerushalayim Yisrael Hashem goes on a different thing, that some people like to learn Tanakh, some people like to learn Torah Shebal Peh, and Rabbi Bo Bikisrei mastered both Torah Shebichzab and Torah Shebal Peh. A different shot, what it goes on. But some of the standard Mefarshim say, it goes on this, Yerushalayim Yisrael Hashem, like the Gemara has the Loshen here, when there's a Machlekes in Havacha, so the Yerushalayim tries to observe the mitzvahs in such a way to satisfy all of the opinions. That was the theme that was introduced into Psak Halacha by the Hasidi Ashkenaz. The end of the period of Bali Atesa, they try to do things in such a way to satisfy all the opinions. So in Shulchan Aruch we have it, that on the second night Rosh Hashanah, there's machlokes where they say Shachyonu or not, because it's a Yom Arichto. So here where the Rishayim say, you don't say Shachyonu, here say you do. So the Maam Rutberg introduced, he should have a pre-Kharusha, Beged Kharusha, for sure. He says Shachyanu. Or there's a Machlokes Hatanoim. If you have an Issa Shani Losha, be May Paris. Is it Chayv and Chala or not? Is it only Chayv Chav? What's Mitzarev? Yerushalmi says, let's say you have a big bread. I'm Tomei. They have an Italian bread. And I touch the bread at this end. And it's all one bread. It wasn't sliced. So Magam and Mitzasa can Magam be Kula. If you touch one end, and I'm Tomei, so the whole loaf of bread is considered when I touch an apple. And over I touch the apple over here. The whole apple becomes Tomei. Not just the spot where I touched it. Whole apple becomes Tomei. Magam and Mitzasa and Kemagam be Kula. So there's a big difference. The apple grows naturally on the tree. Or you have a piece of a steak. That's the way it grows on the animal. But the loaf of bread, it didn't grow like that from the ground. That's artificial. That's man-made. He took flour and he ground it up. He took chitim and he ground it up and made flour. Then he baked it into a cake. He made it into one unit. So the Gemara says, still, it's a loaf of bread is one unit. So the Gemara has a machlek, a satanoim. Yerushalmi has a brisa, it's a machlek, satanoim. What if you have the cake, isa sheni losha, the made peiris? You didn't use one of the zayin mashkin. If you use any other juice other than the zayin mashkin, is that also mechaber yachad? So you'll say magavun ktsos and kemagavun kula, and say no, it's only mekabel tumah b'makom agor belvad, and the rest of it is not tumah. So the Yerushalmi says the same machlokes with respect to magavun ktsos and kemagavun kula applies benegat to chiyav chala. Is it chayav chala or not? Why? Because in order to be chayav chala, it has to be one big isa of mem gimel beitza mechaymish beitza. You have to have either 3 pounds of flour, 5 pounds of flour. That's mitzuref yachad. I needed it together. See, if you hold the May Paris on Mechaba Yachad for Tumah, then May Paris on Mechaba Yachad to be considered one big Isa. If you hold May Paris on Mechaba for Tumah, then May Paris on Mechaba for Chala. So this was a machlokes in the days of the Tanoim. Then in the days of the early Rishonim, they had a machlokes how we should paskin. Then in the days of the later Rishonim, it had already been forgotten that there was. This issue was already debated. How to paskin in the earlier generation, they forgot that. No one ever wrote it up. So then they had the argument all over again. So the Maram Rutmer came, Acharei Kechlos HaKol, after they had the argument twice already. How to paskin, as he said, you should always do like this. Whenever you're making a cake or cookies with made peiris, always pour in a little bit of water. That would it really been enough? That water is enough to make a leash on the whole thing. Like this, yeah. If you have a sveik in the dina, how you pass, whether may peris on mitzarif yachad, mechaba yachad, you have to be mafish chala without a brocha. And then that's not really right to be mafish chala without a brocha. You should always try to see to it. When you're mafish chala ready, you should say a brocha. So that's what the Aram Rutmerk said. Pour in some amount of water, enough water that it could have done the whole leash on the whole thing without the may peris. But then for sure it's chayv and chala. And he has another around over 10 cases where the Shulchan Aruch quotes Maram Rutmerg that he made such a suggestion to try to do the mitzvahs in such a way to satisfy all the opinions. Based on that pasuk in Koheles, Yerei Shamayim tries to satisfy all the opinions. And then the Mishnah Brura took this practice of the Hasidi Ashkenaz and he multiplied it by 100. Every other page in the Mishnah Berurah tells you, do things in such a way to satisfy all the opinions. And the Shulchan Aruch proper, they have it by this Safik HaMoitzim, the Zainus, you should only eat a Torah Hasudah. Or if the Baruch HaKreina, what did the Gemara say? HaKoisis HaKita, you say Bar Pri Hadama. What's the Baruch HaKreina? The Tosis was a Mesupik. Is it Bar Nefashis, or is it Alamichiv Al-Kakola, but you don't say Michiv Al-Kakola, you say, you modify it a little bit. So the Shulchan Aruch says you should be careful not to eat that stuff unless Torah Hasudah, because we have a suffix, what should the Baruch HaKreina be? You should avoid, yeah. So they have these Midas Chasidus to try to do the mitzvahs in such a way to satisfy all the opinions. And that expression is from Kalish Reishamayim Yetzi Deshnei. What did he do? He said, I'm both. This one had the maila of shlema. The other one had the maila of it tasted better. It was a bigger size challah, and it tasted better. Okay.
So he ate from both at the same time also?
Probably that's what it means. He nibbled a little bit from this and from that. So the bracha was chal on everything, like we do by whether you eat the top crust or the bottom crust, you fold the slice in half and then you bite from both crusts simultaneously. The Brisa has that recommendation. Who was the one who did that? Tani Tanik Hamed Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. Omalei Mashmecha. Nachman Yitzchak asks, what's your name? Atana does mean Atana. Tana. We usually think Atana, Reb Akiva, Reb Lozman Azariah, Reb Tarfon. Tana means a person who recites Brises by heart. He's that professional Tanoim in the days of the Amoraim. They weren't Tanoim. He's a Tana. The word Tana sometimes means like Rabbi Kiva, Aplaz, Marazari. The word Tana sometimes means one whose profession it is to rattle off prices. He memorizes prices. So Tani Tana Kamei, the Rab Nachma Yitzchak. Once the Tana one of the Amoran was reciting the price and the prayers of Nachma Yitzchak, that it said like that, Menir Pus, B'tach HaShleim, but say Amoran. So he asked him, what's your name? He says, Shalman. So he says, that's a good name. If it's Shalom Atah, Shalom HaMishnascha, Sam Tushon Ben HaTalmin. He did it in such a way not to get involved in Mach like this. Fine. Amra Pape, Hakon Moedim on Pesach, everybody agrees. Shemenich Pus, B'tach HaShleim, but say my time, Lechem Oni Ksiv. So therefore, what? Lechem Oni Ksiv. What do you mean? Hakamayde bePesach sheminich prus b'tarcha shleim b'batzei. What does that mean? So this is a big machlekes in the Rishonim. How many matzahs do you need on Pesach night? So most people have the practice. You need lechem mishnah on Shabbos. You have zecha laman. You have shalosh sudas also zecha laman. But on Yantav you don't have shalosh sudas. That's we had a kasha. Why do you make a zecha laman on Yantav? You have lechem mishnah. You don't make the zecha laman of the Suda Shlishis. The Rambam writes that you do have Gimel Sudas on Yantav Zechalaman, but the Bi'ur HaGaon writes it's a Yerushalmi that contradicts the Rambam. So the common meaning is that you don't have Shalosh Sudas on Yantav, only on Shabbos. Okay, so that's a good question. How come there's no Shalosh Sudas on Yantav? How come we don't follow that opinion? So usually on Shabbos, Yantav, we need Lechem Mishnah. Then on Pesach night, the Lechem Mishnah should more correct should be Shtei Shleimus. The Tziv wrote in the Tshuva that by the time it came Shalosh Sudas, so many Talmidim had already cut to so many Chalas that there weren't enough Shleimus to go around. So they would say Lecha Mishnah, they would say Amoetzi on two Prusas. But more correct is to say Amoetzi on two Shleimus. So on Pesach night, the common practice is you have three matzahs, you break one and a half, so then when you say Amoetzi, you have two and a half matzahs. You have two matzahs Lecha Mishnah, like every Shabbos and Yantar. Then you have a Prusa to represent the idea of Lechem Oni, Madakar Shalani Beprusa, Avkam Beprusa. So what do you do on Pesach night? You have two and a half matzahs. When you say Moetzi Alechem Lesma, two and a half matzahs. Two Shleimus, Zecha Lemon, and the Prusa because of Lechem Oni. So that's how the Tosfos quotes, the Tosfos Pesachim has two opinions. One opinion is you need two and a half. The Rambam and the Rif say, no, how is that Lechem Oni? If you have two and a half, so it's more than you usually have. Usually you only have two Shleimus, now you have two and a half. So the Pshat is, no, the Rif and the Rambam, you start off with two matzahs, you break one of them, you only have one and a half. So that's what it means. The Pasuk, Lechem Oni, Dr. Shalani Beprusa, Avkam Beprusa. What do you mean, Dr. Shalani Beprusa? Poor man can't afford to pay for bread on his own. So he goes to the rich people after the meal is over and he says, can you spare some extra bread? The rich man has a lot of leftover bread. So the Novi says, halafros la roi v'lachmecha, break off. Prusa means to break off. Break off a little bit of your bread. You're not going to eat it anyway, so give it to the poor man. So Pesach night, we want to demonstrate that it's lechem oni. So if you have 2.5, that's not lechem oni. You have 2 shlemis, that's more than you only have. So the Rif and the Ramhod, you should have 1.5. You start off with 2, and you break one of them, and you only have 1.5. So then it's called lechem oni. Yeah. So what does the Gemara say? Menich prusa betoch hashlema. So some of the Rishonim say, if you say that you need 2.5, 2 shlemis and 1 prusa, so the word toch means that you have a shlema on top, shlema on the bottom, and then in the middle you have a prusa, like a sandwich. But if you say you only have 1.5, so how does it say menich prusa betoch hashlema? It's not betoch hashlema. It's not betoch. That's what some Rishonim are medak. The fact that it says betoch hashlema is an indication that you're working with 3 matzahs. And you have the prusa, one on top of the other, and the prusa is the middle one. So you have the prusas betoch hashlemos. We don't have that gears in the Gemara, do we? Is there such a gears hashlemos? Menich prusa betoch hashlema ubotzea. Yeah, my time a lechemoni ksiv. So the lechemoni, that's why you need a prusa and the 2 shlemas, because you need the lechemishna. Yeah, so that's the machlokes. That's the machlokes harishon. Do you have 2.5? You have 1.5. Amar Rabba b'shabes chayvam letzar shteki kos. My time a lechemishna ksiv. Shabbos and yontif, you need lechemishna. My time alechem oni ksiv. Amar Rabba b'shabes chayvam letzar shteki kos. My time alechem mishna ksiv. Amar Rabashi. This we learned today. The he had lechem mishnah for hamotzi, but then he only cut one of them. So again, Amar Rabba Chazina leRav Kana that he had lechem mishnah. He said hamotzi on both, and he only cut one. So the Gra learns like the Rashba that you cut both. The one that you don't cut is not mitzarf to the lechem mishnah. And Rashi didn't learn like that. Rashi learns that kul d'sheirusa, instead of cutting, you only cut one. Rashi, no one holds you have to cut both. According to Rashi, kul d'sheirusa, instead of cutting at the edge like you cut on the weekdays, you cut in the middle the whole amount that you plan to eat. L'chol asud b'shabbos. Frek digmah ha-mechzik. It looks like a chazer. What's he cutting such a big piece for? And for the Gemara, kevan, since all week long you don't do. Kevan, the kol yam every day, we see all year long he doesn't eat like that. So there's no issue of efsi kirab sanus. Then the Gemara has a famous din. Rabbame Rabbase Kavim Misarmale Rifted De Ruvam, when they made an Erevei Chatzeres, Rashi says. What is Rashi? Erubi Chatzeres. Erubi Chatzeres can only be made with Pas Shem Erochem Olav Amoitzi. Erubi Tchumin, you can make with any kind of food. You just need Mazen Shtei Sudas. But Erubi Chatzeres is only with Lechem Shem Erochem Olav Amoitzi. So he made an Erubi Chatzeres with Lechem. So what would he do? Kiyabim Mishram Leirif Deiruvim Brachan Alei Hamoitzi Lechmanat. He would save it for the Hamoitzi. Why? Amri, they had the attitude. Rabbam Rabbasi, they have the attitude. Taisus points out, why they Ravami V'Ravasi, they were reverends. They didn't have smicha, because they were brought up in Bavel. He can't confer smicha in Bavel. He was a good friend. And then in Eretz they were Rebbe Ami V'Rebbe Yasi. In Eretz you can't give smicha. In the days of the Amorim, they still gave smicha. You can give smicha in Eretz. So there were two people with similar names, Rebbe Ami V'Rebbe Yasi. That says there are 4 people. Rav Ami V'Rebbe Yasi were the best of friends. They lived in Bavel. They were only reverends because they didn't have smicha. And Rebbe Ami V'Rebbe Yasi were the best of friends, and they lived in... And they lived in Eretz Yisrael. So what was their practice? They would use it for Hamoitzi. The Gemara says, Amri, their attitude would be, always have it be mitzvah chodah, and have it be mitzvah chita. Use it for another mitzvah. Use it for another mitzvah. So that's our practice. Whenever you made an Eruvi Chatzeris, on a matzah or erev tavshilin, made an erev tavshilin, so then you use the erev tavshilin for hamotzi. So some have the practice, use it three times. Use it on Friday night, use it on a Shabbos, use it on Shabbos Shudas. That's, if you follow Rashi, then you only have to cut one of the two challahs. If you follow the Rashbos Pshat, they're only going with the Rashbos Pshat. What's our kula shirusa? So then you better use it up last night, when you cut the two challahs last night. So it's not a shleim anymore, so you can't use it in the morning on Shabbos Shudas a third time. That practice that they quote from the Maharil, that the challah that he used for Eruvei Chatzeris, it would be mitzarefit for the Lecha Mishnah on Friday night, Shabbos morning, then finally eat it by Shal Shudas. That's if you hold not like the Gro with the Rashba. You don't have to cut both challahs. So they used to use the challah over and over again, a few times over. We're going to have to learn the Tosfos here. Okay, we got to stop here. I apologize. They made my schedule for Eretz Yisrael in such a way. I don't think I'll be able to give any shiur over Skype. They had me running around to different yeshivas till the middle of the night. Okay, so you got to start chazrin. Start from Laman Hem and Aleph. And maybe when we come back, maybe we'll have a b'china. Is it ready? Higia hazman for a b'china? Okay, good. Very good.
Have a good trip.
Oh, mate. Thank you.
So the Gemara before that, when it says that you should get to Yiddish and you should put up a toe, it's saying you should also put the broken piece between the two whole ones.
No.
Because of the one might speak about the two.
Yeah.
So
you stop them? What do you think? What is this?
What's his explanation?
Yes, correct. That's good if it's that right, that you need 2.5 to put up a toe. That's what the previous guy. You're right.
Yeah. The Magen Avraham says carpas should be a green vegetable.
That's
when we do ruffles.
Okay,
well, where does it say
ruffles?
No, I didn't say ruffles.
Is it ruffles?
Ilya ruffles is by Mara. Ilya ruffles is by Mara. The Gemara by carpas is metabol bachazeras. Kevil apanav metabol bachazeras. There is a girsa in the Gemara. Instead of metabol bachazeras, you ruffles bachazeras. On the side by the Mishnah it says, "Avil Lachanu Yerakos Bachazeres."
Oh,
he's going with that girsa?
No. Okay. Gotta look.
The Magen Avraham Be'ikar, he's talking about a different thing. He's talking about the trozlin, and he has a shol hashaylush. Should we use the trozlin? But maybe it's worse.